Good morning. It is Sunday, March the 17th, and we're continuing our series leading up to Easter, but we're also, as we've indicated, weaving the text for the year into it. It's a hard thing to have a text that you feel so passionately about and realizing the potential for it to shape and craft an entire year for a congregation, and then to realize, well, wait a minute, Easter's coming. Easter's kind of a big deal. So we've looked at it and realized that there is such a profound weaving and importance to be found in our text of the year as it relates to Easter. Last week we talked about how Christ would create a way in the wilderness and how in the isolation he experienced on the cross, being in the wilderness of the cross, he created a way through the wilderness of our lives, the wilderness of our sin, our shame. This week, we're going to be talking about how Christ has created those streams in the wasteland, the dead places in our lives. You know, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. Christ has created life, that stream, that living water that he speaks so often of. You know, in Matthew 26, 27, 28, he was walking his disciples through the time of the Last Supper, and he was talking about how this was setting the stage for something radically different. And he said to them, referring to the cup, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." What he was pouring out from himself was going to result in the forgiveness of sins. It was going to bring, instead of the death of sin, it was going to bring the life of forgiveness. In John chapter 7, Jesus is trying to explain the effect he would have on people, and he was trying to explain it to the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and he said to them, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." He would create these streams in the wasteland, and those who are thirsty, those who are, needing what Christ has, are going to find this abundance flowing from them, because he is pouring into them abundantly. So, again, as we're looking at the work of Christ on the cross, we're seeing how the effect that it has created is this stream of living water that is now flowing into the wastelands of our lives. Let's look into this morning. So, when living water flows from us, the reality is it's flowing, as Christ has said, because we have believed in him. And as a result of having him in us, that stream flows out abundantly. But there is the key. We have to have the living water in us in the first place in order to have it flow from us. And you know, we need to be clear on this point, and we can't soft pedal it. You know, we're in a very politically correct era, and so often we're told, well, you can't say that. And you know what? We have to double down on something and not be light in our conviction that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And further to that, he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Jesus didn't mince words. He didn't say, you know, come follow me and it might be good. He didn't, you know, look at himself and say, you know what, if you believe in me, the scriptures have kind of indicated that, you know, something positive might happen. It might be good for you. You might see some evidence that it works for you and your best life. Jesus used none of that language. You know, he didn't talk about us living our best lives. He said, pick up your cross daily and follow me. When he talked about the abundant life he offered to us, that abundant life didn't mean that we had everything we wanted. It was that we would have in him what we needed. And the abundant life we would have would mean that we would experience things, profound things, that we wouldn't see otherwise if we were, you know, disconnected from him. The reality is that Jesus is the right way. And to put it another way, if we're on that page that, you know, Jesus is kind of a good thing, honestly, why are we bothering? Why are we bothering if we look at Christ and go, yeah, he's been kind of good for me? You know, I'm amazed at how we can be diehard, you know, about, say, a hockey team or a football team or a baseball team or whatever. You know, you're at a game, you're cheering for the home team. Do you sort of do the yay, or do you get into it? You know, if you're watching the game and your team is losing, are you screaming at the TV, or are you just sort of passively going, oh, well? Some of you may go, well, if you're a Leafs fan. Yeah. Okay, turn the page on that. The point is this. If we're cheering for a team and we consider it our own, we are passionate about it. And there's no sort of indifference. The only time we're indifferent about something when it comes to a sports team is when, let's face it, they're losing, when they're not doing what they're supposed to. Jesus doesn't lose. He doesn't do what he's not supposed to do. He's consistent. He's faithful. He's trustworthy. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So, you know, if we looked at that, we are on the biggest winning streak of history. Why would we go, you know, I'm kind of mildly interested in what Jesus is doing? You know, let's get it settled. Jesus was definitive. We need to be as well. He's the living water. Let's drink deeply. And, you know, let's maybe put it another way. If you were in a desert and there was a map that definitively, unquestionably pointed to the only source of fresh, clean, cool drinking water in the entire desert, why would you chuck the map aside and start digging in the sand? That'd be silly, right? Jesus is the source of living water, the living water. He is the streams for the wasteland of our lives, the wastelands that we wander in when we're caught up in sin and shame and living a life apart from him. He is what we need, period. So if that is the case, then what is our response? I think key in this is Christ's words when he was talking in John chapter 38. If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. And, you know, if we're thinking by way of a response, then I would ask this question. Have you ever been thirsty? And I mean, not, you know, mildly kind of thirsty, really thirsty. And someone brings you a cup of cold water. Maybe there's some ice in it and it's just perfect. Do you just sort of take a little sip and go, thank you? No, you chug it. You want all of it. I remember one time, and it is years ago now, I was canoeing on the Nahanni River in the Northwest Territories. And it was late June, early July. Long days. You know, that far north, the sun set around 2 in the morning and was promptly back up again around 3. We were in just about fully 24 hours of daylight. And there were long days on the river. When it doesn't get dark, you can just keep going. And we need it to. Our destination was, you know, timed out, and we had had some, you know, mishaps along the way. Some people had, you know, dumped their canoes in the river, and we lost a lot of time in that regard. So we had to make tracks. So we were going. Now, the Nahanni River is glacial fed, which sounds awesome, but it's fed through a sediment basin. And so the result is you get a lot of turbidity in the water. That's a nice way of saying the water's cloudy all the time. Because it's glacial fed and it was summertime, the reality is the glaciers were melting and the water was moving pretty fast. There were a lot of, you know, tree branches and logs, trees that had been washed down from upstream. There was, you know, just all of this stuff in the water. At one point, my canoeing buddy and I, Sean, we looked and it looked like a head of hair went floating by us, which kind of creeped us out a little bit. There's a place on the Nahanni River called the Headless Canyon. And when you see hair, fur, going down the river beside your canoe, it's a little disconcerting. It turned out it was, you know, I don't know, a dead groundhog. Do they have them up there? Marmot, maybe, I don't know. Needless to say, there was a dead animal that had got washed downstream and was floating along beside us. We got thirsty, but we weren't going to drink that water. We had water in our canteens, but that was from this morning. And by mid-afternoon, it was getting kind of funky, you know, like warm canteen water starts to take on the taste of the, you know, receptacle that it's been sitting in all day. I'm painting the picture that made what came next like amazing. We came upon, and we knew it was on the map, and the map had given this little parentheses on it that said fresh water, you know. In other words, you can drink this. It was called the White Spray Spring. And literally, it was coming out of the mountain. It was crystal clear, and it was frigid. You know, it was like a godsend, literally. So you park your canoe on the side of the river, you tie it off, and there's this water gushing everywhere. And you could see it was just coming out of the mountain like 30, 40 feet away. And you look at it and go, gee, shall I take a little sip? No, we were chugging, which led to instant ice cream headaches. You know, when you take in something cold that's really cold, we didn't care. We were drinking it down by the scoopfuls. It was amazing. And, you know, it wasn't like we were sitting there going, canteen, White Spray, spring. There was no choice. There was no comparison. We took the canteens, we opened the lid, we dumped it out, and we started filling up. It was amazing. Jesus is the living water. Drink deeply. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's nothing casual about embracing him then. The result will be abundance flowing out of us. If we're taking in the best of the best, then it will transform what we're putting out. You know, we can't take in that much Jesus, drinking abundantly of him, without having it affect the way we think, the way we act, the way we live. We will walk in the way. We will stand on the truth, and we will live the life. Which begs to ask then this question. Are you tired? Are you thirsty? Could it be that maybe you've been drinking from the wrong source? Jeremiah, I think, said it best. When he was speaking to the people of Israel, he, was perplexed, understandably so. And so when he got this word from the Lord, he didn't hold back. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, the Lord is speaking. And in the previous verse, in verse 12, it says, "Be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror," declares the Lord. There's something completely out of whack. And, looking at that, the Lord doesn't say, this is kind of needs a tweak. There's something wrong here. He says, no, be appalled. Like, this is way off. And this is what he said. "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me," and here it is. Love this. "The spring of living water." Not just any water, living water. So they've set that aside. Well, what have they chosen to do? And they've dug their own cisterns. Broken cisterns that cannot hold water. If you've never been in the place where you've had to depend on a cistern, let me sort of frame it for you. It is a hole dug in the ground. I remember there was one on our farm. It was lined with concrete all the way around, and it was meant to catch the runoff water. Like, it would rain, and the eaves troughs from one of our sheds poured directly into the cistern. So the cistern was a catch basin for the water, and it was meant to be, a kind of a supplement to the water we already had from our well. It was the water of last resort because of this. You see, when rain hits a roof, it washes down from the roof what was on the roof. Well, what do you think might gather on the roof of a farm? There's pigeons. Need I say more? There's dirt. There's dust. All of that gets washed down into the eaves trough and then carried down into the cistern. The water was there, but it was the water of last resort. Now, here's the thing. It says in this passage that not only have God's people forsaken the spring of living water, mistake one, mistake two, they've dug their own cisterns, but they're broken. The problem with a broken cistern is that the water eventually leaks out of it, and it leaves behind, guess what? The residue. It leaves behind everything that had been poured into it. And so as a result, it's got this scum that lingers. So you get water coming in, but then you contain the residue and the scum that is there from the washing in and washing out and the washing in and the washing out. And so then what you're drinking is dirty water. And remember, you're drinking the dirty water after you've had the opportunity to drink from the spring of living water. It makes no sense, which is why he said, be appalled. Shudder in horror at this. It's nonsense. But that's what God's people do. That is what we do. Jesus went to the cross and died for each of us. There was nothing in that was second best. There was nothing in that was kind of a, sort of adequate response. It was fully, completely what we needed. And Jesus said that if we took that, what would pour out of us would be the best. If we took in the best would come out of us. If we're thirsty, we've been drinking from the wrong source. If what's coming out of us is inadequate, then maybe we have to look at what has been poured in. Have we been drinking from our own cistern? Have we been looking to other sources, other things to fill the void in our lives? Maybe we've never looked to Christ fully in the first place. Right now, what I'd encourage each of us to do is to search our hearts. Where have we been drinking from lately? Have we forsaken the spring of living water to rely on an inadequate source, a completely insufficient source? Let's determine to drink deeply again from Christ. Let's pray. Father, you are our all in all. You created the world, you created us. We are made in your image. And that image has fallen. And sometimes we realize it's fallen a long way. Lord, we were meant to drink deeply from the spring of living water, you. And Jesus died from the cross so that we could receive living water, the purest of water, for the forgiveness of our sins, but for the life then as well that we were meant to live, the abundant life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He isn't a half measure. He isn't an also and an alternative or a maybe good option. He's the best. And when we drink deeply from him, the best flows from us. Father, help us to drink deeply again from that spring of living water and marvel at the life that will pour from us. Father, Jesus died on the cross. He gave us his best so that we could have this best. Help us embrace it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me encourage you over the next couple of weeks. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. We wave the palm branches. We love replicating that scene as Jesus came into Jerusalem, celebrating the coming of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Easter Sunday, we are going to be celebrating the resurrection. The kids are going to be having an Easter party. It's going to be amazing. We have kids ministry both Sundays, and I'd encourage you, join with us for those dates. Palm Sunday as we celebrate Christ's entrance into Jerusalem, and Easter Sunday as we celebrate the fulfillment, the resurrection of Christ, our sins paid for, the new life embraced in him. God bless you.